I'm Kevin.
And I'm Stephanie.
And during our marriage, we have dealt with an electrocution, a brain tumor, brain surgery.
Then doctors telling us that children were not in our future, followed by miscarriage, and then Kevin's cancer diagnosis.
However, today, we live a life completely healed and restored with three healthy children who doctors said were not possible. And we're here to tell stories that inspire, give hope, and brighten your day. Welcome to
Tell Us a Good Story.
This episode is being presented to you by Storyside Church, where your story matters. At Storyside Church, they believe God always writes a good story.
You can join them for church online each Sunday morning on their Facebook page or watch their entire library of prior services on their YouTube channel, Storyside Church.
Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of Tell Us a Good Story. Today's episode is going to be a little unique as it's with our friend Randall Kenneth Jones, who interviewed us.
For those of you that are not aware, Randall Kenneth Jones hosts a popular podcast called Jones That Show, and he asked us to be guests on his show, which was a huge honor
for us.
Yes,
it was.
He was also kind enough to allow us to use the audio files from that episode and share it with you guys here on Tell Us a Good Story.
Now, here's what's funny. Randy typically interviews celebrities on his show. So as you can imagine, we were a little surprised when he asked us to be guests. I actually thought he was just being nice to us at first, honestly. Now, Steph, tell me if one of these things is not like the others.
Okay.
Okay. Here's his prior guest: Aaron Brockovich, Hoda Kotb, Suzanne Somers, Stedman Graham, Ginger Z, Kevin and Steph Mason.
Oh, ding, 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 ding. I think we have a winner. However, we were honored to be part of Jones That Show. Hope you enjoyed this conversation with us and the always entertaining Randall Kenneth Jones.
It's like you have to giggle. I have all these things that I can start with, and I just want to start giggling. And I know, let's get the snort out of the way because I'm going to snort, so let's just do it early. So I was going to say that I'm thrilled to be joined on the Jones That Show podcast today with Stephanie Mason. And her husband.
Oh.
And
I'm here.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Mason. How are you?
We're fantastic. How are you?
Now, so for those people who recall the Masons, when my book Ruby came out in the fall, I've only had two different guest hosts of Jones.show, and the Masons were guest hosts of Jones.show. And they interviewed me about my new book, Ruby, for this podcast. As luck would have it, they have a book, and now we are turning the tables, and they are on the show, and I'm interviewing them about their book. You met her where?
Yes, that's exactly right.
I want to give it away, but I'm not going to give it away. So how y'all doing?
We are so excited. Obviously, we love you. We've missed you, so this is going to be super fun.
It's great to see you. I'm just thrilled if you allow
me invited.
To talk. You allow me to talk if you.
I'm just happy he invited you. I was thinking it was just going to be me and Randy.
Happy
it was
here.
Optional. Pretty much optional. If we could actually turn our text exchange, though, into like a book, that would be funny. The text exchanges that we have, the group text we have. Right. It's pretty funny. But it's so many pictures and stuff, and usually they're Schitt's Creek, so you never know what's going to happen. So, but you know what? So you met her. Where's the name of your book? How did we meet? We met through Siri.
We did.
How many people can say they met through Siri?
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
And she crushed it. Like, she's like, immediately, we said, hey, is there anyone you know who we should talk to? And immediately, Randy, she's like, Randall Kenneth Jones, you need to talk to him. And
well, Susan Bennett is my angel. She's been with this show for 5 years. She is so special. Now, other than doing a podcast, Kevin is in finance.
Yeah.
Steph is a nurse. Now, Kevin, according to this book, you've done a few maybe stupid things in your life. So I think the first thing I need to ask you, you're a preacher's kid. Aren't you supposed to be in jail? Did
well,
you not get
much.
The memo that preacher's kids are a nightmare?
There's kind of a running joke with pastor's kids. A lot of PKs end up being like politicians, senators.
PKs. I've heard PKs before. I love PKs. Yeah. Okay.
Or an international drug dealer. Right?
like you said,
there's no like in between, it feels like. So there's definitely some pastor's kids that are wild child.
But not
wild
you.
Children. No, I went the other way.
He went the naive route.
Yes.
He went polar
I was very,
opposite.
Very sheltered, as you can tell, Randy. In
according
the
to the book, naive is a very kind way for Stephanie to put it. Stephanie, from the book, what I'm really getting is that you are a saint. Kevin, have you or have you not still seen Star Wars?
No, I haven't.
No!
I've never seen Star Wars. I've never seen Lord of the Rings. I'm not a sci-fi guy.
I hated that. Yeah, no.
I'm not a sci-fi guy, and Steph and her family will throw out, you know, one-liners from these movies.
Absolutely.
And I have no idea what they're talking about.
It's very sad.
I had Dee Wallace from E.T. on the show, and my husband Derek, had never seen E.T., which is criminal. And Dee, who was the mother in E.T., screamed, "Why did you marry him? You married him." I was like, I made him watch that movie. Still hasn't seen Forrest Gump, but I can't even.
Have you seen Forrest Gump?
The TV version.
Oh.
I wasn't allowed to watch that when I was a kid.
I swear.
Yeah.
Sheltered.
Okay, Kevin,
yes?
you're not a kid anymore.
You can
probably watch whatever you want to watch.
I stopped asking for permission. I've seen it, but I think I saw the TV version of it.
Kevin, let's go to page 22, shall we, in the book.
Uh-oh.
Just a little section I highlighted from the book. Okay. You Met Her Where by Kevin and Stephanie May. Kevin.
That's our Hollywood
name.
That's our celebrity
Kevin-y.
Name.
That's Kevin-y. Your Kevin. Okay, Kevin. Mm-hmm. While on the subject, a few months earlier, I had met an attractive girl who was helping me pick out some new eyeglasses at a store. She had been flirting with me, I thought, and when I paid for my glasses, she wrote on the receipt her name and a smiley face beside it and a phone number. She gave me her phone number, I thought, without me even asking for it, ! It absolutely made my day and gave me a big boost in confidence. However, when I called that phone number the next day, I got the Lens Crafters corporate office.
Randy, that is one of Steph's favorite stories.
Yes.
It's so bad. Oh, I was so excited. Like, oh my gosh, she wrote her name. She wrote a phone number, a smiley face, and then I call her. They're like, "Hello, welcome to Lens Crafters. How can I help you?" I'm like, "Oh my gosh,
Kevin, it's not just expecting. Kevin, it's not this, just that you did. You had no game. You didn't even know there was a game. I mean, and I look what you married. I am baffled beyond words. Stephanie, you are a saint. Do you want to hear what I actually think about the book? Because we were mean to each other. When you all read Ruby, you may recall that I got no feedback the entire week. You kept your mouth shut.
We did. And you turned the tables on us.
I turned the tables, and I read the book, and what did I give you? Nothing.
Nothing.
Just some, funny pictures.
To begin on You Met Her Where, I think it is a tremendous argument of the fact that so many people now have access to publishing. That there are so many ways for everyone who has a story, and everyone does, to be able to find a way to publish that story and get it out into the public. I think this is an incredible argument for the benefit of all the different ways that we can publish this. And I do want to know, and I believe this, we joke around a lot. Are you aware of what a gift this is to your children? Mm. Are you aware of the gift you created when you wrote this book?
That was the sole purpose of writing the book. We were like, we didn't know if anybody would read the book. We didn't know if it would touch anybody, but no matter what, we wanted to do it for our kids, our future grandkids, because we wanted our children to know how hard we fought for them, to have them. Like, we loved them before we even had them, and we just want them to know, no matter what, we fought to get them.
That was absolutely the final straw on, yes, let's go ahead and do this. I don't have a whole lot of free time, but I'm going to spend hours in the evenings on weekends to write this book. And I appreciate you saying that, Randy, because if nobody read this, at least our kids would know how much we love them and how much of a miracle they were.
And there's both perspectives. It's by the two of you, but it's by one of you or the other one. So we really get to understand both sides of the equation of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a gift to families going through crisis, and your case kind of more than your fair share.
Oh,
yeah.
Can you recite for me the opening to your podcast, which is Tell Us a Good Story, which I love this podcast. It's such a positive podcast. Recite for me the beginning of that podcast.
Just our first 15 years of marriage, everything we've gone through, from electrocution, brain tumor, brain surgery, miscarriage, doctors telling us we've never had children, to my cancer diagnosis. And today, Steph and I are completely healed, completely healthy, with three beautiful kids. And so we started the podcast because every day when we were going through that stuff, I needed something encouraging to hear just to get through the day. In addition to reading the word and reading my Bible, I needed something funny. I needed to laugh. I needed something inspiring. This was a way to do that, to inspire, give hope, and brighten your day.
Was it your whose mother said they didn't necessarily thought you were making fun of cancer? Was it your mother, Kevin?
That was mine.
My view is, with complete and total respect to your mother, if we don't laugh, we cry. And when they say laughter is the best medicine, I absolutely believe that to be true. I think you made it easier to read the book because of the amount of laughter in it. And here's where I have to fess up to something I said to you all before. I mean, if people haven't figured it out, I adore these two people. And I knew this story was going to be hard for me to read. And how I waited, what, 9 months to read it? Because I didn't want to see Stephanie and Kevin in pain.
Yeah.
I didn't want to know that part of your story yet. So it took me a while, and kind of shame on me for not having the courage to say, no, if I'm going to support these people and be friends with them, I need to be able to support their choice to share this story, because you're helping so many people who may go through something similar.
Well, I totally get your reasoning, though. We included our personality in this and some of the funny stuff that happens, right? So, like, for example, me going through cancer and losing 40 pounds. And then I go back to work and I can't hide the weight that I lost. And so I documented the dumb stuff that people would say to me. Like,
some dumb stuff. Yeah.
Like, hey, are you in part of the Biggest Losers Challenge, right? Because because you've lost a lot of weight. And just people would say just dumb stuff to you when they hear that you had cancer. Yeah, we had to make light of it and kind of share the funny stuff that went along with it as well.
Well, who wants to read a book that's all doom and gloom? Like that, and that's not us, right?
And that's not you. That's right. Not you. And I have to believe that optimism and humor and the buoyancy to your personalities. Wow, that was a mount. The buoyancy to your personality. That's a good one. That's a good one. You know, had really helped keep you aloft during this time. So here is the biggest thing that I noticed about the book when you're talking about all these problems. You had a device that Kevin really used, a strike through device that I found. And I looked up strike through. There was a blog on Grammarly that said the strike through is becoming the written equivalent of coughing and saying something at the same time, or mumbling something that you might not want to say out loud, but also wouldn't mind for people to hear. Perfect.
That's perfect.
It's a literary device. It's a literary device. So Kevin put everything in, but then jokingly or not jokingly did the strike through a line through it. But we as the reader got the impact of everything.
Let me say about that, Randy, because Kevin would write something and I'm like, oh, you can't say that.
But
like, Kevin, no.
But that was my real thoughts.
He's like, but that's my real thoughts. I'm like, oh, no, you can't say that, babe. So he developed the strike through because every time I'd be cringing having him say what he really wanted to say.
Honesty is important. And my thought was, you did not strike through and dismiss the funny parts, the selfish parts, or the challenging parts. It's all there. You embraced it all. You didn't dismiss your life. You respected and accepted every part of the journey. You did not strike through the way you told the story. So where it was Stephanie's fear that you were like, oh my God, you're going to say this. It was my epiphany. Thank God you said this, because it came across as more honest and truthful. How does that make you feel?
Well, Kevin's going to be like, see, Steph. I mean, you kind of just nailed it. Like, we wanted our story to be told, but we wanted people to really get our story. Mm-hmm. And Kevin was able to achieve that, I think, with the strike throughs.
But I appreciate what you said there. Even though we have this, you know, funny personality and stuff, life is hard. Mm-hmm. And we had to overcome 7-8 different things, right? Like I just rattled off. Randy, I would have to go to a restaurant and with my laptop. And I remember I was at a coffee shop when I was going through some of this. And I remember just like sobbing at the table, remembering what it was like having such a lack of control over the situation, right? With my wife, whether it was the brain surgery, the brain tumor, electrocution, because she didn't sign up for this. This was just over 2 years into our marriage when all this happened. And so I do appreciate you saying that, because yeah, we wanted to be very authentic and in the stuff we had to go through and things we overcame, mm-hmm. and put a plan together on, hey, this is how we overcame a lot of these catastrophes. Because even one of those, people have told us less than one of those things. Most of the time people end up in divorce, right? Because of how traumatic it is for you. Thank God that didn't happen.
I was going to ask a question. I'm not going to ask it as a question. I'm going to state it. We're going to talk about it. You wouldn't change anything, though.
I would change being electrocuted.
But would you? There are three precious beings in your house right now.
All miracle children.
Those three may not have been there had not all of this happened to you.
Fair.
I'll tell you what. We certainly learned how to rely on our faith during each one of those. And each mm-hmm. one, we learned something different. But we literally learned how to trust God. And there's stuff that happened, Randy, since that book that yeah. we didn't even document. Like our son. Tell Randy about our son.
Yeah. So when we did have three children, we have three children, and they're all miracles. But our son, the last day we were in the hospital, unfortunately, they started hearing something in his heart. And within a week, I was at Children's Hospital with my newborn baby telling us that he had two holes in his heart, that surgery could be an option. We're going to have to monitor him. And I was devastated after everything we'd gone through. But now it's your baby, you know, like it's different when it's your husband, it's the wife, but when it's your newborn baby and you've prayed for this child to come into our life. So I remember going into the parking garage and calling Kevin, sobbing to him about what happened to Tate. Randy, he was so amazing. He's like, why are you crying? He's like, Stephanie, we've been here before. You know what to do. Now you need to speak life into our son. And immediately I stopped. I'm like, he's right. Every day I spoke over his heart. And every month, few weeks, we would have doctor's appointments. Do you hear it? Do you hear it? And every time they'd say, Steph, yes, we hear it. And within a year, the doctor looked at me and he's like, I hear nothing. Your baby is completely healed.
I don't hear it.
So,
and this isn't even in the book.
This
isn't even in
the book.
Yeah.
We're going to do something I don't do, but this is the perfect time to do it. Necessary thing to do. We're going to talk about religion. My views on religion have been changed in a positive way based on this book. I'm Christian. I believe in God. I was raised that way. And I believe in God. I do. Ruby, in my book, one of the big aspects of my character, Ruby, my book, was that she support and respect all religions, as you recall. Mm-hmm. People who use religion as a weapon, that to me is the worst thing you can do. But what I love, nothing makes me happier than a couple or an individual, but a couple who lives a Christian lifestyle in the love thy neighbor way. You two do that. You don't judge and you love thy neighbor. And that's not always what we encounter. There is a lot of hate. And it makes it, I don't go to an organized church because I don't trust that Derek and I as a couple are truly going to be accepted. So I don't go to organized religion because I believe I might be told something. How do I ever really know that you honor my relationship and my marriage and you honor me being here? So my relationship with my God is very private and personal, but you've even changed that. You've even changed that. What do you want people to know about your relationship with God and your faith?
I would say for us, it's about a personal relationship mm-hmm. versus religion, right? I don't like religion. I don't like doing traditions and religious acts. And it's about a personal relationship with Christ. And through this, Randy, we learn to trust God in the worst moments of our life, right? And I'll give you an example. So Steph, of course, was electrocuted. And then she had a brain tumor. And they told us, hey, we're going to have to do emergency brain surgery. And so go to the hospital. And Randy, the surgeons pulled me aside. And before we got to this moment, Randy, I mean, you can understand where I'm coming from. Everything I worked for in life at that moment didn't matter, right? It doesn't matter because I had prepared my life to be able to have a family. Doctors are telling us, hey, forget about kids. It's probably not in your cards. Just forget about it. Now I get to this hospital and surgeons are pulling me aside as they're wheeling stuff back and saying, hey, just so you know, we want to tell you the risk of brain surgery here. The woman you know right now, in a few hours from now, may be completely different. She may
I
have
know
different...
somebody that happened to.
Do you?
He did not know her. She stayed with him for a certain amount of time, but ultimately they broke up because there was no memory.
I believe it.
He was gone.
And that's exactly what they were telling me. Kevin, You may have a completely different wife. She may remember you. She may not. We just want to let you know the risk involved with brain surgery. And at that moment, I remember just kind of breaking, Randy. And I was in the waiting room. And I remember Randy going over to the corner, just getting on my knees and just crying out to God at that point. God, I need you. Like, I'm done. I am done. I've done all that I can to help my wife. I've tried to get her the best doctors. I've tried to get her the best medical treatment. I've tried to make as much money as I can. And it doesn't matter. None of it matters. God, I give my wife to you. I said, God, do what only you can do. It was almost like I just gave up control. I'm like, God, take care of my wife. Because
you all did that repeatedly. That was, though, the common theme. In a profoundly beautiful and passionate way. And every single time, you came out victorious.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And don't question why you've changed my view of religion because of that, because of seeing that happen.
There's been people that have said, hey, Kevin, what are the odds? Like, if you're in Vegas and we're placing bets on Kevin and Steph, what are the odds they could live through like seven?
I bet on Steph. I wouldn't bet on Kevin. I would bet on Steph.
Smart man.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That wasn't a question. I'm sorry.
Let me finish my thought here.
Okay. I always bet on Steph.
What are the odds that we'd be able to live through these seven different catastrophes, right? And be where we're at today. And so to your point, it's like, I've seen too much, right? We've experienced too much to not believe God is good, right? And in all things, God is directing our paths and he will turn a terrible situation into something good. And so ever since that happened, people are like, hey, you need to share your story. You need to share your story. And I'm like, no, we're good because we're private people. No, we're good. We're good. And then Randy, it would be like people would start introducing us. Hey, this is Kevin and Steph. Oh my gosh, they should write a book. You should hear their story. And so then when finally we gave into that, okay, let's write the book. And then that turned into the podcast as well. And just how everything has developed from that point, right? Of God has turned, like you said, something terrible into something amazing that we never expected. And without that, we wouldn't have met you.
Mm-hmm. And your podcast is faith-based, but you wouldn't know that. Because it's faith-based insofar as the way you live your life, but it's not, you're not preaching.
We're not preaching
you're
at all.
You're living that life, which is fascinating. But I tell you, when you had cancer, you went to your friend Judd, and he said something to you. And Judd said, Satan is afraid of the man you might become. He is trying to take you out because he's afraid of the impact you might have for God someday. And I was like, that explains an aspect of Satan. Again, you are applying these principles into your actual life. Your friends were doing this in a meaningful, helpful way. And you all have been given the gift. You're giving so much out. You're applying your religion in real world scenarios and showing people how it worked for you. And that's profoundly moving and profoundly necessary. And I applaud you.
Mm. Thank you.
Randy, that means a lot because to us, we're not writers. We're not authors, right?
We're not radio people.
This is the first book we ever wrote, right? And so here's a good story for you, right? I hated writing. I hated writing long emails. And so I was like, Steph, do you think we could just write like a long story or an article or
you're a
kid's
bean
book?
Counter. You're not supposed to like writing. You're supposed
exactly.
to count beans. Yeah.
So, Randy, I would pour over the details of writing a chapter. And then we got to the point where, okay, Steph, can you write the experience you had with getting electrocuted at work that day? And so, Randy, she's like, sure. So she goes downstairs, comes back up. I'm not lying. 15 minutes later, it was like, done.
Nailed it.
And
perfect.
I'm like, what are you talking about? So I immediately grab my laptop.
No look of surprise on my face.
Open up Google Docs.
Superwoman.
Open up Google Docs and start reading. Randy, she had written it as if like a nurse would. She had charted her experience of getting electrocuted, but there's no punctuations, there's no sentences. It is just like one long paragraph, no sentence, and she charted it as if she was a nurse.
Figure it out, babe.
So
you can do it.
I can't read this.
I did my
part. I had somebody else was going to put in punctuation marks for you, and it happened.
See? God is good.
It happened.
He works it all out.
You cut that corner, you prayed to God that somehow it would magically work out, and it did.
And it did. I nailed it.
So I appreciate that because we're, you know, this was our first book that we wrote. So thank you.
The book really did teach me. It helped me understand my faith because it applied it. So I could see different things that could or have happened to me and how different Bible verses could help. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you have received it and it will be yours.
Yes.
That's manifesting. That's what everybody talks about. That's manifesting. Dee Wallace from ET said the same thing. By the way, she said, you know that everybody's still actually talking about the same thing, the Bible and all of these people. That's manifesting. You know, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you have received it and it will be yours. And that's what you used and became pregnant when they told you you couldn't be pregnant.
Oh.
Yep. We say one of my biggest things with God is life and death is in the power of the tongue. So we spoke our children into existence. We spoke our healing and it happened every time.
Manifesting. Because, that's that principle of manifesting. But I'm just saying, look at the comparison. So don't tell me you believe in manifesting and you can't at least consider God. Because they're the same thing. Another verse, Philippians. I literally went on to try to, I was so worried I was going to say it wrong. I went on, tell me how to say Philippians. I literally had a little, I thought I would say like Philippines or something like that. Chapter 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. That helped me because when I pray, I have a problem asking for things. I don't feel like I have the right to ask for anything because I have so much more than the vast majority of other people on the planet. Mm. So that gave me permission to ask and taught me how to do that. And that was very helpful to me. Romans chapter 3, verse 4. Let God be true and every human be a liar.
Yes.
Fascinating when you add it onto it. I heard Joel Osteen say that professionals were the ones who built the Titanic. It sank. Amateurs were the ones who built the Ark. It floated. And I was like, wow. I mean, I found that so interesting when you tagged that onto it. Again, I'm not telling you what to believe in. The show doesn't do that. But I do believe if you will read this book and empathize with these people and understand and see how these principles applied in the successful changes in their lives, it's worth your time and attention to do so. It's worth your time and attention to do so. So did I surprise you?
I am shocked right now.
I am too.
I am shocked.
That was much better than I was expecting.
You thought I was going to suck at this? You thought that I was going to be bad? Did you think I was like speed reading the book? Going, please God, are there cliff notes available to this book? I didn't have to read the entire thing.
One, I'm impressed you read the whole thing. But two, I thought you were just going to discuss like some of the funny stories we had, like how you started off with the dumb stuff that I've done. Then you moved into very serious and how it changed your opinion and it was very moving to you. That means more to us than you would
ever know.
It's a how-to. But I think that's the responsibility I have with this show. And I don't have a responsibility to change somebody's mind. I have a responsibility, as you know, I look for the best in people as you. Tell us a good story as your podcast. Love your podcast. We're all about looking for the best in people. We share that. But I also have to present what I feel is the lesson that's going to benefit the largest number of people. And that's where, you know, I mean, I talked too much today. I did. But it's my show.
You're allowed to.
And I had a lot to say. And I knew you all wanted to hear it. So I knew that I said things about your book today that you all would never say.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You don't have the ability to pat yourself on the back like that. I have no problem doing it.
And that blew me away.
Yeah.
That absolutely blew me away, Randy. So thank you.
Thank you so, so much.
Friends, thank you for listening to this episode of Tell Us a Good Story.
For additional content and longer episodes, you can go to our website at kevinandsteph.com or wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
And don't forget, you can catch us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. right here on the AM/FM 24/7 network. Thank you for listening to
Tell Us a Good Story.